Good morning. So I am Pastor Jimmy. I am the family pastor here at Antioch, Wichita. So glad you're able to join us this morning. And we are excited as we move into 2020. If you've been with us at all this last year, you know that Pastor Jimmy Seibert out of Antioch, our mother church, declared that last year was a time as now, but it was spoken over us that it was a time of preparation. So we are so excited that this is the year. The time is now, and 2020 is the year that God has called us to go. And we don't know exactly what that looks like, but we know we're going to be faithful and we're going to say yes. And so last year we laid everything on the altar. And if you were here last week, you heard Rob say one of the hardest things, and we had no idea God was going to call us to this when it happened, but laid, restored on the altar. And so those of you that have been here a long time, and those of you that was your story, that was what you've been here since the beginning, can imagine how hard it was to lay that down. But it was for the good and the glory of God, because He had something new. Not just something better, but something new He wanted us to step into. And so this year is that time to step into that. And so we're talking about kingdom come, is what Rob has just felt like the vision God has given him for this Antioch, for our church this year. And so we're going to move into talking more about this kingdom come this morning, but we're going to look at it from a little different perspective. We're going to actually seek the kingdom this morning. And so if you look at Matthew 6:33, I didn't reset my notes. Let me do it real quick. Rookie pastor there. So Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And so this morning, we're going to look at that. We're going to look, what does it mean to seek God? And how many of you guys have seen City Slickers? Yeah, I'm old, I know. Some of you guys are, that's really a movie, City Slickers? But so there's a point in this movie. If you don't know anything about City Slickers, it's a bunch of suburban guys that are, you know, in their midlife crisis, and they've decided to go to this ranch, and they're going to go drive cattle across the country, you know, and solve all their problems during this time. And so there's this old cowboy guy named Curly, always has a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's just a true picture of a cowboy, if you've ever thought about it. And so Curly and Billy Crystal's character, I can't remember if it's Jack or Mitch or what his name is, but they're riding along on their horses, and Curly's got his cigarette, and he's just riding, and he said, telling Billy about this time where he met this perfect girl, and she was just off in the distance, and that was the love of his life. And Billy's like, "Well, did you talk to her?" And he's like, "No. Why not? You missed out." And he's like, "Because that would have ruined it." And he just kept talking. And Billy's like, "Man, I could have never have done that." And he's like, "Billy, why are you here, Jack," or whatever his name is. And he asked him how old he was, asked him why he's there. And he said, "Yeah, it's about the time all you guys come out here." And basically what he told Jack was that my life is a mess. You know, my wife doesn't want me to be around anymore. And I've sought after all these things. And I've tried to be the best I can at work and get to the top, but my life's a mess. It's falling apart. And Jack looks at him and he says, "That's because you haven't figured it out." I'm paraphrasing here. He says, "You haven't figured out this." And he's like, "Oh, what is it?" He said, "That's the one thing that's going to make your life all better." And he's like, "Sweet, tell me, what is it?" He's like, "You got to figure that out for yourself. You got to figure that one thing out that's going to bring you peace, that's going to bring all this stuff you're striving for into where it really should be. And that one thing is going to free you from all this other worry and stress and anxiety and striving." And Billy, you know, based on the movie, he found what he was looking for. He found his one thing and took a little calf home with him and back in his car. But we are also seeking for one thing this morning. God says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And that's the one thing. Luckily, we don't have to really work to try to figure this out. Scripture tells us, what is this one thing that brings us peace? What is the one thing that brings us restoration? What is the one thing that puts all the toil and the strife in its place? The one thing is God. One thing is Jesus. And so we seek His kingdom. And so our one thing this morning is that. And so our boom for this morning says, to seek the kingdom of God means to seek Him. They put Him first and allow Him to be the one thing I focus on in life. And so as we move into seeking the kingdom, putting our focus on Him, letting Him be the thing I search after, there's two things we've really got to look at in this journey before we start. Seeking the kingdom is surrender. So I have to surrender everything that I've put before God in my life. I have to surrender my will, my emotions, my kids, my job, my family, whatever it is. It means total surrender to Him and laying those things down. So we surrender, and then it's intentionality. And so, you know, if you're like us, you've kind of looked at what do you want? What is your 2020 resolutions? What are you going to do? And pray through those things. And if you're here last week, Rob talked a little bit about those. And maybe some of you guys have got a chance to walk through that this week. But for me, my one thing I wanted to do this year was Him. Literally, what I felt like I needed to draw near, I needed to focus on Him and do that. My wife's was intentionality. And I love how God uses that to bring us our visions together and His vision together. You know, I want to seek Him, so I want to surrender all. But the next step it takes is intentional focus. And so Pastor Jimmy, in one of his podcasts, he says that intentional markers keep us focused on the main thing. And so I have to be very intentional with my faith and my life and my devotional time to keep me focused on the one main thing in my life. And we all know that's God, right? And so I had to be very intentional. So surrender it all, be intentional. And then this is going to sound ironic or not right or whatever, but it's simple. This really is simple. We make it too hard at times. We try too hard. This week I'm not going to screw up. This week I'm going to get better. This week I'm going to read my Bible. This week. But it's really simple. It really is. And we're going to look today. We're going to do some basically Devo time together. We're going to go really back to the basics. I'm a sports guy, and so I love the fact that to play a game right, you got to know the basics, right? You got to get your knee on the ground and catch the ball. You got to get your elbow up and shoot the basketball. But there are basics. And so there are basics in our faith, in our life, that we're going to go back to this morning, and we're going to really do it just a Devo time together. So there's going to be a lot of me asking you guys questions and really hoping you respond, because it's kind of weird up here and awkward if not. And people are watching, so we got to make sure we make it look good. But you'll know, you'll be very clear, but I want you to respond and do this Devo time with me. And as we go through, there's also something called, I call it kingdom math. And we sing this song upstairs, and it's 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Right? And all the kids, they like to scream 3 because it's funny. But what it really means, and what we're looking at today is, we're going to look at 3 different things, and within those 3 things, there's 3 things we're going to look at. And at the end of those 3 things, there's a purpose of why we're doing that. And at the very end, we'll wrap it all up on what the one major overarching purpose is. All right, and so that's what we're talking about. That's what our 1 + 1 + 1 = 1, as we seek the kingdom. So, first thing we're going to do, and as you look at your Devo time, one of the first things, and for me it's worship, and we'll come back to worship, but beyond that, the next thing that I really encourage you to do, and again, we're doing this together. Think about it's Monday mornings, tomorrow morning, you're up at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. or whatever time you get up, and we're doing our Devo time. And what do I want to look at first? For me, and as we look through these things, I want to look at God. And so I want to take some scripture, and I want to open up God's Word, and I want to see what does that scripture say about God? What does that scripture say about the Son? What does that say about the Holy Spirit? And so we're going to move into this time, and I'm going to put some scriptures up on the board, and I'm going to ask you, what does these things say about God? If you've done any DBS with us, it's just this Bible study we're doing, you read the scripture, you walk through it, but then the first question you ask is, what does this say about God? So that's what we're going to do first. The first one we're looking at, we're going to look at God the Father, because there are 3 persons in one God, right? That's really our 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. That's what the song's about. But our first thing we're looking at is God. God the Father. There we go. We're looking at God the Father. Okay? So the scripture we're going to look at together is Psalms 103, 1 through 10. It's up on the board. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to ask you to respond. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. He will not always hide. I took away the C on purpose. Nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not heal. He does not deal with us according to our sins or pay us according to our iniquities. So take a couple of seconds. Maybe you're already ready. But what do you see in this about God, about his character, about promises, about how he works? So just start giving me some words. What do you see in there? He's merciful. He's full of mercy. He feels, heals. Yeah, you got to be loud. I got bad ears. He's good. Kind. Kind. Being left-handed is not good when you're doing this kind of stuff. He satisfies. Yeah, I got it there. Yeah. He redeems. You know, you guys want to read this again. Don't worry. This is for my, I can read it. What else? Yes. Involved. Gracious. Loving, forgiving. Constant. I'm going to go ahead and stop there because we got two more scriptures to get to. I love this list. And so now I've read that scripture and I said, okay, well, God, what does it say about you? So now I'm going to go back in thankfulness and I'm going to spend time in prayer and say, God, thank you that you are merciful, that you have mercy on my life, Lord. Thank you that you heal all things. You make all things new, Lord. Thank you that you are good, that I can trust you. Thank you that you are kind, that you are compassionate, Lord, that you satisfy all my needs, Lord, that you redeem me, that you took me out of the pit and you give me grace and mercy. God, thank you that you're involved in my life. Thank you that you're not a God who's distant. You're with me everywhere I go. Thank you that you're loving, that you're forgiving, you're constant. So I've taken, now I've opened the door to the rest of my Devo time by bringing thanksgiving to him for who he is, who his word says he is, not just who I think he is. So I've brought truth into my Devo time. So I've done God the Father. Now I need to, now let's look at God the Son. All right, so this is Monday morning. Now we're on Tuesday morning. We're going to do God the Son on Tuesday morning. And so our scripture for this is Colossians 1, 15 through 22. Now hear me, this is obviously not an exhaustive list. This is not, you know, a complete picture of who God, who the Son is. We just want to look at scripture right now and see what it says. So what does it say about the Son? It says he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things are created through him and for him. And he is before all things. In him all things are held together. He's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn of the dead, that everything might be preeminent in him. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, he's making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, once you were alienated in a hostile mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled you in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Let's kick that off. So, my voice isn't trained like my body is, so it kind of goes into that, all right? And so here we go. So we've got the Son. So what does this say about the Son? That Jesus. He's selfless. He's sovereign. Perfect. He's God. Creator. I'll spell it right this time. I spelled creature last time. Creator. He forgives. Forgiveness, yes. He's the answer. He's the answer. He's peace. What you said, right? Peace. Anything else? Firstborn. Good. So now I've got my list again. I'm sitting before the Lord. I'm in prayer. God, thank you, Jesus, that you're selfless, that you gave up everything and came to this earth and you gave up your life on the cross so that I may have grace and mercy in my life. Thank you that you're sovereign, that there's nothing new, that you know exactly what's going to happen in my life every day. There are no surprises to you, Lord. Thank you that you're perfect and that your perfection allowed you to be the perfect lamb and be sacrificed so that my sins can be forgiven. Thank you that I see God in you. Because Jesus said that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Thank you that you're the creator. Thank you for creating me. You created everything. Thank you for your forgiveness. I know I don't deserve it, Lord, but thank you that you forgive me anyway, that you are the answer to everything, Lord, that you bring peace in the midst of toil and strife. And thank you for the firstborn, that you came and were born of a human. So I've got this list that I can bring the character of Jesus back to him and start again with thankfulness. So there's a Trinity, right? Holy. So we've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We're not going to get into the overarching of what that looks like because it just blows my mind anyway. We're just going to take God's truth and look at it. So the Spirit, we're looking at John 16, 7 through 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So what do we see about the Spirit? He's the truth. Say again. Giver. Helper. He's present. Thoughtful. Leader. Guide. Okay, let's go back. Let's give our thanks. Holy Spirit, thank you that you bring truth. That in the midst of the lies going on in my head that I believe about myself, I can come to you and say, Holy Spirit, what is the truth that God speaks over me? What is the truth that I find in your word? Thank you that you are the giver, that you give good gifts, that I am able to walk in those gifts because you first gave them to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're the helper, that in the midst of it, I don't know what to do, that I don't know what to pray, that you help me. Help me, Holy Spirit, today to do the will of the Lord. Thank you that you are present. Again, he's a God who's with us wherever we go. Thank you that wherever I walk, no matter what I'm doing, I'm never alone. Thank you that you are thoughtful, that you think of me, that you care for me, that you lead me, that you guide me in my path, that I'm not doing this on my own. Holy Spirit, help me today to follow your path. So you're like, okay, Jimmy, we could have done one of these. I got this 3 times ago, right? That's what you're saying right now. I get it. But there's a reason we looked at all 3 of these this morning. And I love what Tyson did today and how God works things out. And so at the very beginning, Tyson read this thing about worship. You guys, what he said about uniting our spirit with God's, right, as we worship in time. And so the equal one in this is seeking who God is allows me to worship him in spirit and truth. And so as the Holy Spirit is in me and my spirit and his spirit unite, then I'm able to worship him in that spirit. But as I look at who God is in his scripture, when I get a true understanding, when I have the truth, and I bring those things together, it really allows me to really worship him the way he's worthy of, right? And so that's why we looked at all 3 of those, because as we're in our Devo time, I want to bring that truth into my worship. And we're going to, later on we'll worship again, and we want to bring that in. So we have God's truth, and we know who he is, and we've been thankful for it. And so John Piper has a quote, kind of wrap up this point about worship. He says, true worship comes from people who are deeply emotional and who love deep and sound doctrine. Strong affections for God, rooted in truth, are the bone and the marrow of biblical worship. And so this leads into our worship. And so that's why it's important. And so that's the God, that three there. And the next we're going to look at is worship, word, and prayer together. And so think about this. We're talking a lot about worship. Worship is what opens the doorway to my Devo time, my time with Jesus. Worship opens that door. And at the end, worship continues to keep that door open as I walk out off from the altar of the door. So we're not going to talk a lot about worship. Just know that it's important. Whether you sing, whether you put it in your ear, whatever way you worship, it is very important in your Devo time in the morning or afternoon when you do it. But we're going to look at three other pieces of this worship and this word and this prayer. We're going to start by looking at His Word. And so in His Word, we have three ways to see God and one reason why. We'll look at it at the end. But in His Word, and I love how Psalms 19 says this, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. It's the testimony of the Lord, and it is sure, it is true. It makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are always right. It gives us rejoicing in our heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, and it enlightens the eyes." Well, that's just one scripture about God's Word. In Psalms and Proverbs, it says that it's like honey. It's sweet. And then another one you guys probably all heard, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, "All scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work." And so it's not a new thing. We know God's word is important to us, right? We know we need to be in it. And so what are some practical ways during the week? So I didn't say this at the beginning. My heart for you guys today, as we practically and walk through this together, wherever you are in your stage of life, this helps bring you closer to Jesus. Whether you're a believer who's, you know, I'm solid. I got Devo every morning. Awesome. But maybe this will help remind you of your first love and bring you back closer to Him. Maybe you're a new believer who's, I'm not really quite sure how to study the Word and how to pray. Well, great, we're going to give some practicality to help draw you near to Jesus. Maybe you don't know who Jesus is yet. Maybe you haven't made that decision. You don't really follow Him. You haven't accepted Him as your Savior. Well, I hope that these will give you an opportunity to know Him more, but some tools this week to take and test them. Take these things we've done, test them, do them every morning, see what God says, see what God does in your life during that time. So wherever you are in your walk, I pray that this brings you closer to Jesus. And so, this may be nothing new to you, but the first thing you got to do when you got God's Word is read it. And the first thing you got to do is come up with a plan. And the harder part is you actually got to do it, right? I come up with plans all day long, right? But if I'm not doing it, am I accomplishing my goal? No. And so get you a Bible. If you need one, we have some in the back row. Come up with a plan. YouVersion has a bunch of different plans you can choose from 7 days to full year programs. We've got on our app, we have a plan there. Pick a gospel. Start there. So just pick somewhere and do it. And then just as you go, ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your eyes, His Word, as He takes you through it. And so you read it, set a goal, do it. The next one is memorize it. Scripture is very clear about us putting His Word in our heart. Why the reasons like, so I don't sin against you, and reasons so that I'm able to share you with others, and be ready in and out of season. And so it's very clear that I've got to memorize it. Some of us are okay with that. Some of us are not. Some of us just, really? I can't memorize Scripture. You guys didn't see that, did you? I was trying to be really smooth. But it's very clear that we need to memorize it. I guarantee you, there'll be some earworm song that comes on the radio, and you know the words right away, right? And so we have the ability to do it. We just need to put our time and put our effort and maybe put it to song. But there's different ways. So you got to memorize it. Some just easy ways to do this. Again, ask God for help. That's not my first intuition usually. My first intuition is come up with a plan. All right, I like memory cards, so I'm going to do a card. And I'm going to do this card 3 days a week and this card 2 days a week. And I'm going to go over it 5 times a day. And so that's usually my first inclination. But really, honestly, the first place I need to go is, God, Holy Spirit, help me remember your truth. Every day when I get ready to do my memory verse, help me remember your truth. So ask Him. Start with a meaningful verse. Maybe there's a verse that somebody spoke over you or that you read in a time that just really touched you, that you really remembered, that just helped you through a season. Start with that one. It's okay if you already know part of it. It just helps you grow that strong, that truth stronger in your heart. So memorize it. Get one something you know. Make a list. I guarantee every one of us in here can do one verse every month. So pick 12 verses, write them out, come up with a plan, pick those, make a list. And then lastly, as you walk through these verses, meditate on them, review them, and pray them. So maybe your verse is a promise. God, thank you that you said you would never leave me or forsake me. And so I'm praying those verses back to God, praying His Word back to Him. And so just ways to help get it in my life. So we read it, we memorize it, and here's one, meditate on it. So meditation, what we're talking about is not me sitting down and going, trying to clear my mind. That's not the meditation we're talking about, guys. Meditation, Christian meditation, is this. Christian meditation. It's okay. There we go. All right. So Christian meditation is this. It's the ability to hear God's voice and obey His Word. Pretty simple. It's me focusing everything on God, who He is, on His kingdom, how He works. So in the midst of me reading His Word, it's taking and stopping and thinking about God and how He's moving and all these things in there. So that's Christian meditation. So it's hearing it and obeying it. So there's two pieces to that. There's commandments. Like we're commanded to read His Word. We're commanded here in Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your ways prosperous and you'll have good success. I love this. There's a command and a promise. Meditate on it day and night. Put it in your heart. And then you're going to prosper. And so that does not mean I'm going to have a great job, that everything's going to be great, but it means that in the kingdom, as I seek after His kingdom, that I have promises that God is with me, that I'll have success in my faith. I'll walk those things out. And so the success and live long and prosper, all these things. And so as we do those things, there's promises in that. So I meditate on it. There's promises. And so here's a few ways to help you walk through these things. Again, first and foremost, God, give me insight. Holy Spirit, share the truth of your word with me. And then, Holy Spirit, help me live this out in my life. I can't do this on my own. Show me the truth. Help me live it. I ask God. Think about each word and its meaning. So if maybe there's some big words like preeminent and all these things. Maybe you don't completely understand those words. Ask God for revelation. Open up your dictionary. But focus on every meaning. Focus on those words and see what they mean, and then begin to walk through that scripture. And I love this next one, and we're going to do this together. It says, visualize the verse. So things you're thinking about when we visualize the verse, what are the noises? What are the smells? What are the people doing? How do you react to what is being said? How do you apply this to your life? Now, get this. Scripture is not about me. Scripture is about God. But there are definitely obedience things and things that God's wanted me to do and learn out of His Word that I apply to my life. And so that's what we're trying to do now. We're trying to put ourselves, just think about this, in the manger where Jesus was born, you know, the love, the song, Silent Night. Randy Travis came out with a song, it was a Not So Silent Night, right? Because think about the smells. I mean, if you really put yourself in there. So think, go back and changes what you think about the verse. But we're going to read two verses this morning. And we're going to look at visualizing these things. I'll take my marker out. Sorry, guys. Okay, so here's the first one. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. While the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowd that had assembled for the spectacle, when they saw what had happened, returned home beating their breasts. And all of his acquaintances and all the women who had followed him stood at a distance watching these things. So that's Luke 23:44. So let's ask these questions, and then this is interactive again. What was going on? What were the people thinking? What was happening? What do you think they were doing? What was going through their mind right now? Yeah, they were mourning, right? It's good. What else? Doubt? Guilt, doubt. Was this really Jesus? Is this really who we're supposed to follow? What else? What do you think is going on? Disbelief, good. Anything else? Fear. So there's all this going on. So now, okay, I've put myself in this story. Now I can really begin to understand what the disciples were feeling. And I can begin to think, man, if I ever doubted Jesus, and I have, what was my response? And how did I react? And then here's the follow-up to that. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen." Okay, so now what? Now what's going on? What do you think is going on in them now? How are the people feeling? What are they thinking? What's going on in their hearts? Sadness, sorrow? Okay, what else? Shock. Good. What? He's not here? Where is he? What else? Anybody? Fear? Okay, fear because who took the body? It was here. What happened? What else? Regret? Confusion, right? Confusion. And so what did the angel also say, though? He's risen, right? And so, hey, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is risen. So it's confusion about he's gone. They don't know. Where did he go? What, trying to remember the promises that Jesus gave them. But wait a minute. The angel said he's alive. And so now I've got joy and excitement. So I've walked through this. And now I can say, okay, Jesus, I did doubt you, but I remember your promises that you rose on the third day. And now I have his promises in my heart. And instead of just reading a book, now I've got the living word in my heart. And I'm living his life out in times of doubt. I can remember that Jesus said, hey, on the third day, I'm going to raise from the dead. And he did that. So if those promises come true, then why wouldn't all the other promises come true? So now his word is alive. Right? So that's why it's so awesome to take this and meditate and think about these things from that standpoint. Not to put me in the Bible, but to take Jesus out of it and put him into my life. So that's what I'm trying to do in there. And so finally, I want to paraphrase the verse. And so we talked about, you know, DBS, again, we said at the beginning, if you've done any DBS, one of the things we do is we paraphrase it. So I take that piece of scripture and I read it, and how would I tell this to my five-year-old? How would I tell this to somebody in the jungle? But be able to give that story back to somebody, help me understand it and them without all the church ease that we use at times. All right, so how can you paraphrase that? So those are ways of meditating, so don't think of it as a bad thing. Meditating is actually really good as we meditate on God's word. And so now we want to look at his voice. So we're just talking about prayer. If you talk about prayer, prayer is a two-way communication, right? We hear from God, we talk to God. And so we're going to quickly walk through just some practical ways of prayer. And so the first one is praise. This is what I did here. I took God's scripture and I praised him for who he was, who his scripture said he was, about the truth. We're not going to get a chance to go through all these. There's some great scriptures. If you want to take a picture of it, take them home. I'd love for you to look them up. We just can't go through all of them right now. So praise, and then be still. And I love this one because I was reading this Devo thing, and Pastor Jimmy wrote, but it says this, to be still, it's not a time to listen. I'm not asking questions. It's a time to let the Father of Heaven love me. Time to sit before him and just let the God love me. It's a time to picture yourself sitting in your daddy's lap. Some of our guys, we talk about this, it's a time when they're driving and they hold Jesus' hand. So it's just a tangible, real way to sit before God and let my Father love me. But be still. Don't come from the expectations, but just to realize and know his love. Confess. So confession is so important. Confession can be a roadblock to other things in my life. Confession can be a roadblock to what God wants me to do next. And so I need to confess and have that early in my Devo time. And so I don't want to put it at the end. I want to get rid of that. Lord, forgive me for what I've done this week. So that I may draw near to you. Get those things out. Confess them. Get them in the light. It brings intimacy with God. And then intercede. So intercede is an important part too. So intercede is a time for you to pray for somebody else. It's time for you to go before the throne of the Lord and bring somebody up and intercede for them. So maybe it's the person you know that's not lost. Maybe it's or that is lost. Maybe it's the person that needs healing from cancer. But here's another thing to think about. What about a nation? Ask the Holy Spirit to put a nation on your heart. Maybe it's China, maybe it's America, maybe it's Russia, but put a nation on your heart. And part of your time is praying for that nation. God, heal, raise up the church in China, God. Protect them, God. Don't let the persecution not hold them back in their hole, but to drive them out to share the gospel. So whatever it is, God put a nation on your heart and begin to pray for them. So intercede. And the last one, and it's not new to most of you that have been around here, is listen. So again, I want to take time, and this is the time that I can go before God and say, okay, God, I need direct orders from you on how to live my life today. Or maybe it's, God, is there somebody I need to encourage today? Or is there something in my life I need to lay down? And so just ask and listen. And to get to that point, though, I hopefully by now you've focused your mind, you've prepared your heart, but if not, God, quiet my mind. Open my heart to hear your voice today. And then lay down whatever expectations, whatever emotions are going on in my head, whatever my will is for, okay, Lord, today I want to go to Six Flags. Lord, I want to hear your voice to go to Six Flags. Right? No, but I lay down my will and my emotions, what he has. And here's even the bigger part. I got to be expectant that he's going to talk. I'm going to ask him for something to give to me. I need to expect in my heart and my mind that he's going to do it. And so just take those things and ask him and simply and listen. Those are just a few ways to pray today. So last one of this is his people. And so there are two different things we're going to talk about when it comes to his people. First one is evangelism. So we're all commanded to go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So this isn't necessarily a time during my Devo, but this is a preparation time. Okay, Lord, who do you want me to talk to today? Lord, put someone in my path today to pray for, to talk to share the gospel, and then I'm commanded to go do it. We're all commanded to go. Whether I feel like sharing the gospel is my gifting or not, we all have that ability and that call to do it. And so that's what evangelizing is. It's loving the people in front of me that God puts there and letting them know the love of Jesus. Simple. We make it too hard. I get too fearful of talking to people God puts in my life. I go to Starbucks most Thursdays to have coffee, but I really go there to talk to people. That's supposed to be my time to talk to people. I can count, unfortunately, on one hand the amount of times I've gotten over my fear to do that. And so I have to ask God to forgive me of that. And so maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's people you work with. Maybe it is somebody at Starbucks. It's the barista. But God is putting somebody in your life and be praying for him to give you the boldness to do that. And so we're commanded to go do that. So share the gospel with his people, those that don't know him. And then community. So community is this. This is community. It's what we're doing. We are the church. We're God's body. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. So this is community. But one of the areas I really want to focus on today, guys, is house church. House churches for us are really the heartbeat of who we are and what we believe God wants us to do in Wichita and the nations. And so hopefully, house church to you is family. Hopefully, when you go there, you feel welcomed, you feel loved, you feel encouraged, you feel discipled, you feel like you're on mission for Jesus. If you're not in a house church, man, we really would love for you to see you join part of that family. Because again, what we see God doing in us is through those avenues. But here's the question for us, again, back to those that are in. Is it a chore? Or do I see it as family when I get ready to do that? You know, good piece of honesty again back with you. Some days on Wednesday afternoons when I'm getting ready to leave work, And I go, oh man, I got to go home and vacuum the dog hair again. And I got to get a lesson ready and got to have a dinner. And I just want to go home and watch TV. Is that okay? Can I just go sit on the couch? I have those days. So there are days I feel like it's a chore. But I feel like I have a choice to make in that. I have a choice to see it as family. So when I get up in the morning and I say, Jesus, today's the day. Today's the day I got to be with family. It's like Thanksgiving, if you like your family. All right? And so it's like, today's the day. Lord, I get to be with family today. Lord, be with my family. May they have peace today. May they know your love. And when we come together tonight, Lord, can we worship you? Can we worship what you did in our lives? Can we talk about you? Can we talk? We've got struggles. Is it okay for me to talk about those with my family? Yes. And so we work together, but we're family. So when I get up, the first thing I need to do is rejoice in the family God has given me. Because I have a choice to make in that. Family. Do I see House Church again as a place where I get to encounter God together? Do I see it as a place where we get to stir one another to good works, encourage one another in discipleship? And do I see it as a place where we're all on mission for God? We're all on a mission to share Jesus with our neighborhoods and with the nations. So I hope that's what House Church is to you. If not, it starts here with you. Not with your leaders, not with anybody else in the House Church, but it starts with you. And how do you come into House Church when you get ready to do that? Leaders, man, it's our job. We need to make sure that's going on. We need to make sure that family is happening inside the House Church. We need to be very, very intentional about that. But ultimately, it's your choice that you make, guys, in that process. But I hope that's what House Church is. And so the overall theme of this whole section is this. Our obedience when seeking God opens the door to receive His grace and live it out in our lives. There is a command in each one of those sections we talked about. Now, the obedience is not about me. The obedience is about the calling God has put into my life and to be obedient to Him so that He may be glorified. But I love this. We had watched this video this week. It was talking about suffering. This lady named Marjorie, she's like the grandma of every person in Antioch, Waco. But she came in and she said this. She said, obedience opens the doors for me to receive and grow in grace. Love that. Well, there's a reason for obedience. It's not about me being a better person, but about Him. And that obedience and that grace and that mercy and that love allows me to live it out in my life daily, which is what we're called to do, right? So last thing we're going to talk about, there's three things in this section, and we're going to cover two of them quickly and spend some more time on the last one. But we have a calling, we have a role, and we have assignments. And all of these things are for the glory of God. So again, this is out of my Devo time. This is me going into the real world and acting these out. But we all have a calling. Our overarching calling, the overarching calling for all of us is this, that Jesus wants us to be His, that He's our Lord and Savior. He wants to save us. He wants us to love the people around us. He wants us to believe God for breakthrough in our lives. He wants us to contend for our city. He wants us to invest in the people in front of us. That's all. We all have that calling. Some of us have a calling to pastors. Some of us have a calling to ministry. Some of us have a calling to the homeless. Some of us have a calling to our families. But we all have a calling. And so that's just one, this big, big theme up here. And then we have roles. So the roles are the things that we authentic, these are the authentic parts that I've chosen to fill my life with as a family, in my work, in my ministry, whatever it is. So maybe I'm a kids ministry leader, I'm a dad, I'm a friend, and I'm a teacher. So those are my roles. And as I look at my roles, I want to think about what do I want people to see in me when I'm in those roles? Do they see Jesus in me? Do I want them to know the love of Him? Am I acting in a way that does that? And so those are my roles. We each have those, and I encourage you to look through there. Rob alluded to this last week. We'll send him out again this week. But there's these roles and goals and these mission statements that Pastor Jimmy has put out. I really encourage you guys to walk through this week, but talk some about that. What are each one of the roles in my life look like, and how do I follow Jesus in those things? But here's the one that blew my mind: your assignment. We all have an assignment. Your assignment is where you are right now, the space and the place that God has put you in. Maybe you're a barista. Well, if I'm a barista, I'm going to serve coffee with all my heart for all God's glory. And I'm going to make sure people know about Jesus in the process. If I'm a stay-at-home mom, I'm going to serve my kids with all my heart, with all my soul, for all God's glory, so they know who Jesus is. Maybe I'm a painter. I'm going to serve that paint. I'm going to do the best paint job so the people that I work for know that I'm serving God with all my heart, with all my soul, for all God's glory, so they know Jesus. Get the point? So it doesn't matter where you are, and your assignments are going to change over life. Some of you are students right now. As a student, your job is to study and get to know your subjects that you're in. But in the process, you do that with all your heart. And so if I'm not doing my homework, am I doing that with all my heart? No. And so, but as a student, all my heart, all my soul, for God's glory. And in the process, I'm going to tell my classmates about Jesus. Later on, you're not going to be in that role. So your assignment's going to change. But as you walk into your assignment, God may be bringing you to your calling. You hear that? As you walk through your assignment, maybe you feel like you're supposed to be a pastor, not in Wichita, Kansas, but he calls you there anyway. But he calls you to be a pastor. But right now, I'm not in that assignment. I have a time in my life where I was mad at God. I was sitting in a parked car in the front of my house, pouting, because one of my friends got called to Africa. How stupid is that? I wasn't rejoicing with them. That's awesome that God called you to Africa. I can't wait to hear what God's going to do. I was sitting in my car going, what about me, God? Seriously? I knew my calling, but I wasn't living in my assignment. And so in the time I'm sitting there, he says, do you see that tree over there? Big, beautiful, top to bottom tree. Green, it was awesome. And he says, do you think that happened overnight? No. He said, this is not your time. It's like that tree, it took time. Not your time. And so from that point, I said, okay, God, wherever you have me, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be in your will, my heart, for your glory, sharing people with Jesus. So I dug in more into our church. And God called me to an eldership role. We were teaching kids. We were doing life group. As an athletic trainer, I was doing my best for all my heart, for his glory, to share Jesus. And eventually, God forsaked me and brought me here. But he brought me into my calling. So sometimes we have to live in our assignment with all our heart for his glory to get to where our calling is going to be. It blew my mind. I didn't even realize that was what was going on until I heard this. And so live in your assignment, guys. Live in your assignment. Okay. So the overarching point of this, everything I do should be done to help me stay focused in his will for my life, but more importantly, for his glory.